And what's happening in Turkey is also raising anxiety about an approaching pandemic in Europe and the United States. If this or any future outbreak does become a pandemic, fear could turn to panic. Whether that happens will probably depend on how honest governments are with the public. NPR's John Hamilton reports.
Panic is more than just people living in fear.
Panic is when fear reaches a level that society begins to disintegrate.
John Barry wrote the book The Great Influenza.
In 1918, for example, close blood relatives were so frightened that they would not feed a family where people were starving to death.
Barry says it was inevitable that the 1918 flu would cause fear. After all, it killed hundreds of thousands of Americans. Panic, though, came after officials tried to reassure the public by telling half-truths and even lies. Barry says the Surgeon General even tried to convince people that the 1918 virus was no worse than an ordinary influenza.
The obvious lies led to a breakdown in all trust in authority. People understood very rapidly that this was not ordinary influenza, given the horrific symptoms, given the enormous death toll, given the fact that people were dying sometimes within 24 hours after the first symptoms.
And if people can't trust the government, they turn to other sources of information, including rumors. Then behavior can get extreme. Barry says that's what happened in Phoenix in 1918.
Rumors spread that dogs were carrying the disease, and people started killing their pets. And if they didn't have the heart to kill their own pets, their dogs, they gave them to the cops, and the cops were killing them.
Of course, it was people spreading the disease, not dogs. U.S. health officials say they've learned how important it is to tell the full truth. HHS Secretary Mike Leavitt has been making a point of describing a potential flu pandemic in graphic terms. But in some Asian countries, officials have been less forthcoming about bird flu or the deadly outbreak of SARS. Peter Sandman is a risk communications expert in Princeton, New Jersey. He says China's response to SARS offers a good example of what not to do.
The only panic we saw during the SARS outbreaks was in China, and it was as a result of the Chinese government misleading people about the existence of SARS in China, which the Chinese government maintained it was doing in order to prevent panic.
Sandman calls this panic, the government's fear that the public can't handle the truth. He says that's wrong.
Panic is very rare. I think a pandemic is likelier to provoke panic than almost any other catastrophe. But even in a pandemic, most of the time, most people don't panic. They get very frightened and very upset, and they feel panicky, and they cope.
Sandman says U.S. officials have offered some false reassurances about bird flu. For example, they like to remind people that the bird flu virus hasn't yet infected any birds in this country. Sandman says that doesn't make most of us any safer. It really doesn't matter whether or not birds in the U.S. get the virus. What matters is whether the virus has begun spreading easily from person to person.
Unless you're in the poultry industry, your risk is not significantly increased when it comes to local birds. The risk of eating chicken is marginally increased, so there's some real change, but very small. The risk of a pandemic doesn't change at all.
Dr. Jody Lenard is a psychiatrist who is married to Sandman and works with him on bird flu risk. She says recent efforts to reassure Americans suggest that the Bush administration hasn't fully learned the lessons of 1918.
That's why we end up having President Bush on his first major pandemic statement talking about martial law.
Panic. Instead, Lenard says the president should be encouraging public resilience.
The kind of public resilience that we do see after most hurricanes and that we did see in the World Trade Center. And they're going to the rare, unusual case of public hysteria and disorder instead of counting on the public to be the way Americans usually are, highly, highly resilient.
Lenard says officials can tap into that resilience by telling people how they can work together to protect themselves, even when things get really bad. John Hamilton, NPR News.